Christopher, lovely to see you again. Today, in our series, you're going to tell us about your trips to Saint Helena.
That's right.
But just another place I'd love to visit. Can you tell us about the trips? When, where, what, how much they cost?
Sure. Yeah, Saint Helena is another one of these out of the way places that I like. It's what I seem to like the most. Places where no one else goes to, or very few people go to. Saint Helena is, if you don't know where it is, it's a tiny island, 122 square kilometers. That's pretty much halfway between Africa and South America. If you're standing in Jamestown Port and you go straight north for about 2,500 kilometers, you'll eventually get to Ghana. So it's one of the most remote inhabited islands on the planet with a functioning dive center. Flights only started there late 2017. I went out there in early 2018 on a recce to check out what was happening there, and found somewhere that's absolutely sublime. And the USP of St Helena, well, there are many, but the most notable one for most people is it's the only place in the world where we find adult male and female whale sharks together. So about 88% of the whale sharks that we can sort of get in the water with around the globe are males, sub-adult and juveniles. The Galapagos, Malpelo, that chain in the Pacific is the opposite. They're almost essentially all adult females. And this is the only place where we know where we get together. And being whale shark specialists in the world from the Marine Megafauna Foundation and Georgia Aquarium consider that they are going there to mate. They're drawn there by a couple of different spawning events. Some bluefin tuna spawn out there, and there's also African pompano spawning, and one of the 50 endemic marine species, the St. Helena butterfly fish, locally known as a cunning fish, spawns there in January as well. And that attracts, I think, the whale sharks to come firstly to some offshore seamounts that are about 75 miles offshore, which are amazing tuna fishing grounds. And then the pompano and the butterfly fish spawning bring them closer right up to the island. I've swam with them in the bay of James Bay, straight off the dock. So every time I've been out there, I did trips in with clients in 2019, 2020, and 2023, two or three trips per year, one after the other. And every time we've done a whale shark snorkel, we've been in the water with big whale sharks, sometimes two or three, and on occasions over 30. So that's the draw, and that is snorkel only. And we have clients who go there who are only snorkelers. But the other stars of the show for me are Chilean devil rays, Mobula terrapacana, and they get up to sort of 3.5 meters wingspan, and they come to feed on the fry of the St. Helena butterfly fish as well, and to mate. So on a week in a week's diving, I would expect to have two or three really close encounters with the devil rays, and quite often they'll be circling overhead for 10, 15 minutes. And a couple of memorable dives last month where they turned up under the boat as we had finished the dive. We were about to hand our gear back into the Zodiac, and there they were. So we went back down for a bit of an extended safety stop.
Yeah, of course you would. Tell me, is this a mixture of shore and boat diving?
No, we do all the diving is from boats, but the
It's all
furthest
boats.
dive site, we're doing ribs, Zodiacs, The furthest dive site is 20 minutes away. Sea is flat. We're diving the leeward side of the island. There's about two dozen dive sites. A couple, about half a dozen of those are around the corner that is sometimes disturbed by the wind, but we've still got about 15, 16 dive sites to dive that are diveable every day. Got some historic wrecks there. There's a Papa Nui that is in the port. You could theoretically do it as a shore dive if you wanted to, but really not much point. The Royal Fleet Auxiliary Darkdale that was sunk by a German U-boat in the Second World War, she's there as well. There are a couple of other wrecks that are really good fish magnets. A lot of the diving, we're diving close to the shore. The island's very volcanic, so a lot of the dive sites are either underwater mountains or lava fingers protruding into the ocean from the island. And either at the top of those mountains or at the end of the finger, there are huge aggregations of butterfly fish, literally bajillions of them. And in January, they're tiny, and by March, they're about this big. It's like being in a snow globe, like one of those things you shake up at Christmas. You're there, and the snow is the butterfly fish. And lots of stuff goes there to eat them. I've never seen so many bearded scorpion fish in any place. Sometimes they're lying on top of each other, using each other as camouflage in the sand. Tons of trumpet fish. Like certain spots, you might see 100 trumpet fish together. They're all looking for a cunning fish or a not so cunning fish to eat. To get to St. Helena, the only way is at the moment through Johannesburg. There's one flight a week every Saturday. So the trips that I put together, we meet in Johannesburg on a Friday, have the night in Johannesburg included, 9 o'clock in the morning on the Saturday. We fly out to St. Helena, get there in the afternoon, check in, orientation. Sunday, we'll do a couple of dives and a snorkel with the whale sharks in the afternoon. Monday, we have a full day island tour in 4x4s with a local guide to understand the lay of the land and see what's what, because as part of the package, I include some rental vehicles that are there for the group to use, so that in the afternoons where we don't have something planned, there aren't that many, I like to keep people busy, but then you can go, oh, I'd like to go and check out the rather rough looking 9-hole golf course, or that you want to go to Plantation House to go and see Jonathan, the world's oldest tortoise, who they reckon is somewhere around 190 years of age now. There are some amazing walks there. Because it's volcanic, it's very steep. Everything's either up or down. Most of the time it feels like uphill. So there's some great hikes, some easy, some more challenging, and there's loads of history, because what St. Helena was famous for until the Suez Canal was opened was as a refueling and resupply station on the trade routes between Africa and the Americas and the Caribbean and Europe. In its heyday, over 1,000 ships a year pulled in there to collect supplies. It still is part of Great Britain, though it's semi-autonomous. And it used to have 3,000 troops garrisoned on the island to protect it, because it was of such strategic importance in the days of shipping. So there's loads to do there.
Stunning. And just onto the diving side again, in particular, I was just thinking about equipment. I mean, here and with the rest of your other trips, do people generally like to bring their own? Can you supply gear? How does that work mostly?
The dive shop we use has a full range of good condition and relatively new equipment. It's only about, there were 3 years where it wasn't used during COVID, pretty much. The island was closed from March 2020, and commercial flights only started going in again at the beginning of 2023. So on site, there's good equipment that can be rented. But flying in, the flights are run by Airlink, South African Airlink, and they're one of the few airlines that still give a divers a free additional allowance. of 15 kilos. So it's easy to take all your own gear. And I take my dive gear, take my running gear, I take all my underwater camera gear, and I generally tie it in with a wildlife safari somewhere in Southern Africa, either before or after. So I've got all my wildlife photography gear with me as well, and I never have a problem with excess baggage.
Oh, that's great news. Great news. And how many people do you normally take on a trip?
12. 12. We'll do 12 in a week. The boat will comfortably take 12 people out for a double tank. Sometimes we'll do double tank, sometimes we'll do a single tank and come back. In terms of cost, the first week that I'm there, we stay in self-catering bungalows, about a 5-minute drive out of town, a place called Half Tree Hollow. It's got a swimming pool. They're well furnished, fully fitted, supermarkets nearby. And that, with the two nights, one at either end in Johannesburg, but without the flights, comes to £1,200 for 2024. And then the second week, I do it in the only decent hotel on the island, the Mantis property, four-star hotel, in the old officers' quarters. And that comes to about £1,850 for the trip. Domestic, the regional flights from Johannesburg to St. Helena and back, looking around £750, $900, somewhere around that return at the moment.
I can't remember if you mentioned it or not. Dates.
So I escort trips there. First, we will meet on the 1st of March in Johannesburg, and that trip will run for 9 nights till the 10th. And then the second group for the Mantis will meet on the 8th of March in Johannesburg, fly out to St. Helena and meet me there. And that will run until we get back to Johannesburg late on the 16th of March.
Fantastic. Thank you, Christopher. We'll end it there. That's been once again just a super destination that you're taking people to. On our next and last video, we're going to be talking about South African diving and also combining that with safaris.
And in fact, all of southern and eastern Africa, because we do the lot.
Brilliant. Look forward to it. For now, I'll say goodbye.
Cheers, Jeff. Bye-bye.
Cheers, Christopher. Bye now.